Dairy with Robots, the podcast for news and views on robotics. Hello and welcome to episode 141 of the Robots podcast. I am Jana, and today we will take a look at the world of dairy farming and the role robotics might play in solving some of the challenges farmers face. But first, as always, let's get the latest news and developments in robotics from Christine.
Thank you, Jana. Our very own Adam Klapdotch, who you may remember from the many interviews he's conducted before finishing his PhD and joining UAV company Sensefly, has just posted a second video of his recently founded non-profit Drone Adventures. In this second adventure video, Adam shows the process of mapping the Matterhorn, the iconic Swiss peak and most well-known Swiss mountain near Zermatt, using five small UAVs, including one launched from the summit at 4,478 meters or 14,692 feet. The result, apart from spectacular shots of the climb and view from the top of the mountain, is a highly detailed 3 million point 3D map of the entire mountain. It also shows the high portability, seamless collaboration, and huge potential of using small UAVs for mapping and surveying applications. In other drone news, the first Drones and Aerial Robotics Conference was held in New York this week. It was a multidisciplinary event with a focus on civilian applications of drones, and touched on all things from the practical do-it-yourself, including workshops on how to build your own drone, to regulatory frameworks, law and policy, media, arts and activism. One clear outcome of the conference was to highlight a surprising number of business applications for small to medium-sized UAVs, which promised to eclipse the current civilian market dominated by hobbyist platforms and toys. For more information on the latest robotics news, including videos, in-depth articles, and links, have a look at robohub.org.
One of the big challenges of modern dairy farming is the availability of labor and associated lifestyle issues. Automatic milking systems, or robotic milking, may be able to address some of these challenges. However, while robotic milking technology is now in wide use in many countries, there's less experience with automatic milking in grazing-based farming systems such as Australia. Future Dairy is an R&D development program to help Australian dairy farmers manage the challenges they're likely to face during the next 20 years. Our interviewer, Ron, spoke to the project lead, Associate Professor Kendra Karisk from the University of Sydney, about the uptake and the mindset of robotic milking.
Good morning, Kendra. If we can start by getting you to introduce yourself to the listeners, we can start there.
My name's Kendra Karisk. I'm an Associate Professor at the University of Sydney, and I lead up the Future Dairy Program, which is a national research program looking at helping farmers moving into the future and dealing with challenges, in particular with regards to labour and lifestyle on dairy farms.
If you could give us an idea of what Future Dairy is.
Absolutely. So Future Dairy is a national program, a national research program with four key investors. And what it's doing is looking at how it's evolved over time, and it did have a broader scope in the start, but right now it's at a stage where it's really looking at implementing robotic milking on commercial AMS farms and dealing with some of the challenges that might go around that. So from our point of view, robotics have been involved, have been adopted onto commercial farms around the world since 1992, and there are now well over 12,000 commercial farms operating around the world, but it's still relatively new technology or much lower adoption levels in pasture-based systems. And the challenge that comes with that is when you're asking a cow So robotic milking is reliant on the cows bringing themselves to the dairy, milking themselves or being milked by a robot and taking themselves away, so the whole milk harvesting process can be conducted without people around. And so for us, getting that process to happen when cows are grazing out on pasture some hundreds of metres from the dairy and getting them to come to the dairy, milk themselves and take themselves away, is quite different compared to how they're doing it overseas in barns where the cows just walk to the end of the barn and can sort of see the robot no matter where they are. So we're looking at addressing the challenges that farmers have on farm and creating the system around the robotics that allows them to operate a viable system and be able to make good money and have high efficiency utilisation of the machines and be a profitable system and sustainable into the future.
Cattle come in all shapes and sizes. How does your system meet the variations?
Yeah, the systems do cater for everything from what I would say a large Dutch Holstein cow right down to something as small as a small New Zealand Jersey cow, and they're extreme in the variation in their sizes when you look at those two extreme groups. And the different brands of machines. So just to be clear, we don't develop machines. There are commercial brands out there, and we look at the application of those on farm. So the different brands of machines deal with that in different ways. For example, one brand of machine has weigh cells in the bottom of the crate, so it can track, based on where the cow is placing her weight, it can track exactly where the cow is within the crate, so she's got quite a bit of room to move. But obviously, if you know where her feet are placed, you have a fairly good idea of where her udder is as well. Another brand looks at confining the cow to some extent, not squeezing her out, but reducing the room that she has to move, which then means you know exactly where she is. So it'll have a tracking bar on the back of the cow that it can monitor electronically, so it knows that the cow has stepped backwards or forwards.
So, does your system require cows to obey every aspect of the process? Is that correct?
I guess to some extent. The cows do need to be trained, but we have learnt that it is easier to train a cow than it is to train a farmer. So the cows will adapt to this. We liken it to a whole new way of farming. It's not just a new way of milking cows, because so many things are different. When you've got robotic milking, you operate 24 hours a day because a robot can only deal with one cow at a time, so your throughput is a lot slower. So the whole farm system is different. Instead of having two set milking session times in the morning and the afternoon, or three on some farms, instead it happens right throughout the 24-hour period. So the cows will adapt to that and will operate very well in the system. The farmer often takes longer to get his head around how he might manage that system when he hasn't got all his cows in one place at one time, and that impacts on how he feeds them, how he gets them back in calf, how he conducts a herd test, all those sorts of things. So training the cows is, I wouldn't say it's dead easy. It takes some effort and some time, but they do train very easily. And from there on, basically it's a matter of making the system work for the cows so that they will then work for the farmer. So if you put the cows in a paddock with lots of grass and everything they want, so water and shade and shelter and herd mates and everything that cows value in life, and ask them to go and milk themselves, the vast majority of them won't go. So what you have to do is make the things that are most valuable to the cow limited and put them in packages, so they have to move around the farm system to get to the next package. So the thing that we use the most is feed. We know that if a cow needs 20 kilos of dry matter of feed per day, and that depends on the cow, if we put all 20 kilos in one paddock, then she will only come out once a day. But if we break it up and put it in two paddocks, then she will move around the farm system twice a day. If we break it up and put it in three paddocks, then she moves in more regularly. So that it's an incentive-based system where we give the cows rewards and incentives for moving. You have to be careful that you realise that it's not about making life unpleasant for them or taking things away from them, but it's about just packaging things so that they have to work for it a wee bit.
Okay. Earlier, you spoke about improvements of output. Is that a reality? Is there an improvement in milk output with a 24 system?
I guess it really depends on how the farmer uses the system and what he's trying to achieve with it. So some farmers aren't looking for increased milk per cow. They're looking for a dramatic reduction in the labour units required to operate the farm system. So he might be quite happy to keep the same level of milk going off the farm on an annual basis, but do it with many less people. On the other hand, you know, if you've got a father and son operating a farm and neither of them want to leave the farm, they both want to stay, then they would be looking for some other gain, and that might be looking to increase milk production per cow. So it really depends on the farmer's target, but certainly the opportunity exists to increase production per cow, depending on what you're starting from, purely and simply because when you've got cows that are milking themselves, they can quite easily milk themselves more than twice a day. So the more milkings they do, particularly in early lactation, the more production they're capable of doing if they're fed properly. So milking a cow instead of on average every 12 hours, but milking her on average every 10 hours or 9 hours will give you more milk if you feed her appropriately.
Okay. What level of automation and robotics are we talking about? Does the farmer have a lead time to understand the system? Are there checks and balances in place for the safety of cows?
Yeah. I think there's so many things in place. And I guess it's an indication of how well advanced the technology is as well. So the farmer, it will depend on the brand of machine he's buying and the personality of the farmer himself. Some of them will go and spend time with another robotic farmer before they start up, so they have a really good understanding of how to operate the system. They will get some on-farm training. They may pay another robotic farmer to come and spend some time with them on their farm once they get up and running. A whole host of different ways of doing that from the farmer's learning point of view. But from the question about the automation and what technology there is, there's basically everything is in place to allow a cow to milk safely with no human assistance. So because it operates 24 hours a day, that needs to be the case. And it doesn't mean that there's no farmer on the farm at all. He has to come every day and there's, you know, things that he has to do, but it can send out alarms, so it will ring the farmer and tell him that, you know, this cow didn't get milked properly, or that the robot cannot pick up these cups, or the robot has gone into an emergency stop, or the cow won't leave the crate, or you know, whatever's going on. So it can ring the farmer and let him know so that he's aware of what's happening and can deal with those challenges, or, you know, with those alarms as they come up. Some brands, they can deal with those remotely, log on remotely, see what's going on, and maybe do a restart or whatever. Other brands, you have to actually go to the dairy and deal with that. The technology needs to be able... It basically has to replace the eyes and ears of farmers and everything that they would do at milking on a conventional farm. So it needs to be able to monitor the milk. It needs to be able to detect cows that have got mastitis or an infection in their udder. And alert the farmer to that. It needs to be able to rinse the machine at set times or do full system washes at set times. It needs to be able to feed the cow. It needs to be able to monitor how much milk is coming from each quarter of the cow. They often have, depending on the brand and what you know, there's some optional extras, but we'll monitor the quality of the milk with regard to the components of it, the fat and protein in the milk. Or the somatic cell count in the milk. They do a whole lot of stuff. And of course, there's a whole multitude of sensors on there that, you know, would be linked to the different aspects of the milking and alarms and alerts and things. So also, I mean, it is sort of more than just a robot. There's obviously a lot that's linked to it as well with automatic drafting gates and things. So the farmer can... There's a lot of things the farmer can change settings on to tailor the system to best work for his herd. And also there's a lot of monitoring he can do. So essentially the farmer absolutely must monitor the system on a daily basis. There's things that he must look at so that he's aware of how things are tracking to keep a an efficient system operating.
Okay, that was very interesting. Then the installation of the automatic King rotary system, has there been a very high take-up? Is it a slow take-up? Are there restrictions in upgrading existing environments? Is the cost too steep? Is it too new for some farmers? Is it a gamble? That kind of.
Okay. So if we just, for some comparison purposes, if we think of the single or multi-box robots have been on farms now for since 1992. So we are very comfortable in the knowledge that they can milk cows. And then it's just a matter of making sure that this farm system around it is developed well enough to allow the cows to be milked or to milk themselves. So people are generally very comfortable with that technology. In Australia, there's still a lot of farmers that are uncomfortable with the whole idea of voluntary cow traffic, so cows moving themselves around the system. It's quite a foreign concept to them, and something that creates a level of discomfort. I've heard farmers say, "Oh, that's ridiculous. There's no way. What are you doing? Why are you buying robots? That's just, silly." And then in 6 months' time, when that friend of theirs has got their farm up and running, they go, "Oh my God, I had no idea!" And then going and buying robots themselves. So people have a lot of opinions about it, and often with limited knowledge or understanding. So with the automatic milking rotary, I guess that's probably even the next step. It cannot be retrofitted to existing rotary platforms, so it is a full installation. And part of the reason for that is that the robots are in the middle of the rotary, so the cows have heads out, bums in, compared to a standard rotary that would be more common in Australia with heads in, bums out, and people standing on the outside. So the technology, it is quite different, and there's a lot that goes around it that to make the whole system automated. So it's not a retrofit. How do farmers perceive that? I guess there's only one that's been installed in Australia so far, and that was a pilot installation down in Tasmania. And for us, that was a big learning curve, as well as for the farmer. And we've learned a lot from that, which has helped with the development of the product as well, and to make it more suited to Australian conditions in our farming systems. We're at a stage now where we have actually just recently put out a call for expressions of interest to have a commercial farmer install an automatic milking rotary with a collaborative research agreement with us, because there's some more research that we can do to understand how to operate that. It is designed to milk in the order of 1500 to 1600 milkings per day. So, for example, 800 cows twice a day, or 600 cows 2.5 times a day, whatever. So, but the things that we don't know is, how do the herd dynamics change? Will the cows actually do that when you've got such a big mob of cows and the system around it? So we've put out a call for farmers to put in expressions of interest to be involved in that. We'll only take one farm, but we had more than 30 farmers put their hand up, which I think is quite a high number, given that there's only one farm in Australia. And we're in the process now of going through those submissions, and in fact, next week we'll go and visit some of those farms and have a look at their operations and whether this would suit them, and whether they suit us or we suit them. So that will be the next step. So certainly the interest is there. I guess to some extent people need to see it on farm and see with a large herd and be confident that it is all doable. And also the messages that come from us about the challenges around it and things. I think one of the roles that we play is to make sure that expectations are realistic, because the last thing you want is farmers to invest in a technology that will not deliver what they're expecting, because then in their mind the technology failed, even if the technology was never designed to deliver what they're expecting. So it's really important that farmers invest, know what it is they're investing in and what impact it's likely to have. So I guess, but probably even further moving on from that, the next piece of technology that will become available to farmers, it's not commercialised yet, but has been developed in New Zealand is a robot that is designed for a retrofit onto an existing rotary. And that robot will probably have its application with even larger herds. It will be designed to work with a batch milking system, so really high throughput, really fast cup attachment, but probably not have quite the accuracy that the other robots have, because it will be operating in a system where normally, say for example, if you're milking 1,000 or 2,000 cows, you may have two people in the dairy. This robot would allow you to remove one of those people but still have one as a backup, buffering the inaccuracies of that robot, or you know, sort of floating and making up, or yeah, taking up the slack a wee bit. So allow for a big increase in productivity, labour productivity, but not fully automate the milk harvesting. So a different solution for a different scenario, I guess.
Uh-huh. Great. The operation being a 24/7 environment, in doing that, you told me that it's changed the whole way the farmer approaches things. I guess gone are the days that he wakes up at 3 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning, and starts his day. So does this mean the farmer can finally sleep in and it's all done, possibly done for
him? Yeah, I think certainly it creates those opportunities. So again, it depends on the farmer. And some farmers, I think it's in their blood to get up early and you know, at the crack of dawn and be up and going. So those farmers may not be looking, it depends what they're targeting, but some farmers won't be looking to shorten their day. They'll be looking to reduce the number of people doing that on their farm. Other farmers will very happily try and shift their hours and do something that's more similar to office hours, if you like, probably not a 9 to 5, but maybe a 7 to 5 or something along those lines, and with much more flexibility in their day and you know, much less intense, I guess. Other farmers will do everything the same way they do it now, but they will shift their focus from milking cows to managing different aspects of the system better to get bigger productivity gains, improve pasture management, improve reproductive performance, improve nutritional management on the farm. So it really depends on the farmer and what they're trying to achieve and what their motivation for adopting the technology is. But certainly, yeah, there are farmers that, you know, operating a robotic farming system, starting their day at 7 or 8 in the morning, finishing at 4 or 5 in the afternoon, and having a good 3 or 4 hours off, or ability to have 3 or 4 hours off during the day to go and do something else, and whether that's developing a new piece of land for the next installation or whatever. So yeah, those opportunities are there.
Building up the technology, does this mean that there's an opportunity now for younger members of a family to have a real tangible experience, like a higher academic environment, programming, understanding management systems? Are you seeing that? Is that an offset?
Yeah, absolutely. Again, every farmer has a story, I know there was one farmer in New Zealand that the son absolutely was not coming back onto the family farm unless they put robots in. So he almost held his father to ransom on it. But when we talk about labour and lifestyle, it's one is about being able to impact on the labour employed or unemployed, not unemployed, sorry, paid or unpaid labour on the farm. But also the lifestyle that goes with that. So we've talked about some of those less tangible things when it comes to the hours worked and those sorts of things. But the impact of that is on attraction and retention of people on farm as well. So, you know, it creates an opportunity for someone who is at the end of their, or close to the end of their career, to say, do you know what, I could probably actually stay in this game. I was looking to retire in probably 5 to 10 years. I could probably stay in it, for another 10 years past that if I didn't have to put the cups on cows. But it also, you're right, it does create the need to employ a different skill set on farm. So makes it attractive to some people that have perhaps been off farm and are really looking for management roles, managing the farm system rather than putting cups on cows. So I think definitely that those are side effects that we're seeing, and it depends on the farmer as well. But I think attraction and retention of people on the land is a big side impact of this.
Okay, moving back to the actual herd in the paddocks, etc. I noticed on one of the conferences you were looking at trialing robots in herding techniques. How did that go? And that's an interesting aspect that you're using just another project and adapting it to what you're looking at.
So I guess from our point of view, we're interested in all things on farm that require labour, and particularly we focus on repetitive tasks, so tasks that have to be done on a very regular basis, tasks that require collection of data that farmers don't necessarily have time to do or can't really see the value in doing, or enough value to make it worthwhile to do, or the collection of data that that's not possible at the moment with humans. So robots have another place to play in all three of those areas. And so one of the other repetitive tasks that we looked at was the herding of cows, and that happens on just about every farm in Australia. So it's not just about automatic milking farms, but on conventional farms where people have to sit behind the cows, probably on average for, an hour every milking. And it's either freezing cold in the morning and in the dark and the cold, or it's hot and dusty and flies and all the rest on a summer's afternoon. So the conditions of that task are not particularly nice, but also there's a lot of other side of benefits potentially from automating that task. So, for example, it is very hard for people to do that at a pace that is very comfortable for cows. Cows walk very slowly, and we know that when we push them too hard, they're more inclined to not get their foot placement properly. So they're more inclined to stand on stones and end up with stone bruises, which then cause them to become lame, so then they can't harvest the grass, and so then they don't produce the milk, and they fall out of the system. But if you can do it automatically, you can tell a robot, you absolutely cannot go any faster than this speed, or you absolutely cannot get within, X metres of the last cow, or those sorts of things. So from a health and safe, an animal welfare point of view, there's potentially really big benefits. From a labour productivity point of view, there's the benefits. From a health and safety point of view, we know that quad bikes are one of the biggest causes of injury and death on dairy farms. So taking people off quad bikes for on average 2 hours a day would surely have some benefit there. And then once you've got a vehicle that can do that, can herd cows, the sky's the limit with what you tack onto that as far as automation of other tasks on farms as well. So again, if you take it to the point where you say, okay, it's not just about herding cows, but what else does the farmer or the staff do when they're normally herding cows? I mean, they're looking at the cows, they're assessing the pasture that the cows have left behind, they might be doing some spot spraying of weeds, they might be doing a whole host of things that could probably be automated on that device as well. So it was a very interesting exercise, and we've only done a pilot investigation at this stage, really just to see how to get a bit of a feel for the cow-robot interactions and to see how the cows accommodated the technology, I guess. And in fact, they were very good. They played the game and they, walked out of the paddock and headed up to the dairy, which was nice to see. Potentially they could have been very inquisitive and all run to the robot and, sniffed around it and things, or they could have been very fearful of it and run through fences. We took a very cautious approach to the investigation, but the cows were fantastic.
So are you going to take this any further? Is anyone looking at other potential?
We're working with the Australian Centre of Field Robotics at the University of Sydney to further develop that, and we're just in the process at the moment of looking for funding opportunities for that, for a development program around that.
Okay, very interesting. What is the future? Where are we going? Is there more to learn? Is there more to automate? How far can we go?
I think, how long's a piece of string, really? I don't know. I guess in some respects we have a long-term vision and I think visions are important to have something to aspire to, but a long-term vision that would see our dairy farms moving more and more towards being not people-less, but relying less and less on people to do tasks, and relying on people more and more to manage and to manage the system and get the highest efficiencies out of it. A large reason for that, I guess, is that the demand for food is only going to increase. I think the challenges of encouraging people into rural jobs is, we can make it more attractive by having robots and things like that, but they have, so long as they're productive. It's not for everyone. Not everyone wants to be on a farm. To many people, that would be like hell on earth kind of thing. So it is hard to attract people into rural lifestyles when that's not what they've been born and bred with. So I think in that respect, if we want to continue to produce safe, nutritious food in Australia that is, for our people and for our export markets, then we have to look at how we can get some really big increases in productivity, and that's going to have to be by milking more cows and doing it more efficiently, so getting more from less, and I think that's where robots and technology and automation play a big role. I think one of the other things is another vision that we have is increasing the portability of milking. So at the moment you have a dairy farm and that's what it is, and there's a lot of infrastructure tied up with that piece of land that you can't buy a piece of land and turn it into a dairy farm overnight. That takes some time, it takes a lot of investment. If you could, for example, just imagine there's a huge amount of Australia that has been cut up, of good agricultural land in Australia that has been cut up for lifestyle blocks and things. Everyone wants, a lot of people want their little slice of paradise, and those lifestyle blocks have a lot of land tied up with them that is not being used productively. And in actual fact, many of those people, once they've got their slice of paradise, realise that, it all starts to look quite scruffy quite quickly because I don't have enough stock to eat the feed, I don't really know what's weeds and what's not, and all of those things. And in some areas, I think there's a huge potential for people to say, I'm almost a modern-day drover, if you like, and I will bring my cows through your paddocks and the neighbours' paddocks and the ones after on a regular basis. We will eat the feed that's there. It will cost you nothing, and I can take my dairy farm with me. I can take my automatic milking system that's now portable. I can milk my cows in your paddock. So you might wake up tomorrow morning and I'm milking cows in your paddock, but then you won't see me for another 14 days or whatever. So those, if you have a vision of that, then all of a sudden, any place that can go grass can become a dairy farm overnight potentially. Like it is quite out there, but it's got some potential as well.
Very interesting. Okay, we've spoken about what the farmers have thought, etc. Has anyone approached the public, the consumers, as to whether they understand that the level of automation and that if we do more robotic automation, that will reduce the stress on cows and you get a better product? And has anything like that been...
No, there hasn't, I don't think. Probably in some of the countries where it's really been developed during it, and it's, if you think of some of the European countries now, 50 or 60% of farmers that are putting in a new dairy will choose robotics over conventional milking now. And in some countries, I think as high as 30% of farms are using robotic milking on farm. So in those countries, there probably is, if they've had any backlash, they've probably dealt with that. We were very cautious. I guess I started with automatic milking in New Zealand back in 2001, and we were very cautious about the public perception and things. And we actually never called it robotic milking because we thought that conjured up images of metal on flesh and things that the public wouldn't like. So we always called it automatic milking. And we always made sure that, anyone we talked to, whether it was, a group of people from a rest home or, a group of agricultural scientists or whoever it was that we talked to, we made sure that we put to rest their concerns about any negative impacts on the cows. And, in actual fact, when you automate things, I guess if we take a step back and think, in some countries, the regulation around milk production is, there's so much more rules and regulations than there are in Australia. For example, in some of the European countries, it is mandatory that someone must look at the milk from every quarter of every cow before they put the cups on. So they must physically squirt milk out of that teat and assess it visually. So getting around that with automatic milking, you have to have sensors in place that can pick up at least as much as the naked eye can pick up. So sensors that are looking at the colour of the milk, the conductivity of the milk, and in fact we can pick up issues with the milk or, you know, changes in composition of the milk well before the naked eye can pick it up. So we've done better and we can treat that cow earlier so that the pain on that cow and the negative impact on that cow of having a mastitis infection is far reduced, and her chance of cure rates and all of those things. So there is a lot of welfare gains to be had by automating, but you're right, there's a lot of work to do to make sure that the public realises that. And I think over time that does happen, and you know, there's a farmer up in Queensland who, a lot of the AMS farmers actually are very good at conducting tours and showing people what it is on their farm, and whether it's, you know, members of the public or other farmers and discussion groups and things. But there's a farmer up in Queensland that does regular tours on his farm, and he's now also opened up a processing plant. So for him it's all about showing people how nice this is, what a nice way of life this is for the cows, but also what I'm going to do with this product before it gets to your fridge. So he will show them what pasteurizing involves, that it's, you know, literally smashing up the milk, and, you know, he'll show them that, you know, so that they can see the whole thing, and that there's nothing going into the milk, that is no, you know, it is a raw product that is being processed in such a way that it just remains, has a longer shelf life, but that it's not got additives or anything. So he's very big on those sorts of things. And, you know, I think the early adopters of automatic milking are very proactive in making sure that people have a good understanding of, you know, the benefits of this from the food safety, animal welfare, all of those aspects.
Excellent. So thank you very much, Kendra, for your time and effort. And we'd like to hear more as time progresses. Thank you.
Fantastic. Lovely. Thank you.
And that's it for today. As always, just visit our website at robotspodcast.com if you want any more information on this or any of our past episodes. We'll be back in 2 weeks' time. Until then, goodbye. Dairy with Robots, the podcast for news and views on robotics.